Well, good afternoon, brethren. It's certainly nice to be in Seattle. I guess more appropriately, or Bellevue, is that, or where are we exactly? But it's where it's cool, I'll tell you that. My friend and I, Glenn Harrison, our wives are here for the ladies' seminar. This is the second one my wife has attended, and we convinced them that Pat needed to be energized as well. So we're out here. We've been fortunate to be friends with Mr. and Mrs. Luker. Well, wow, I guess going on 12 years now. They came to Atlanta in what many of us refer to as the dark times in Atlanta and helped us through some very trying ordeals during that time. And I know you all know what we're talking about, what I'm talking about. But it's wonderful to be here. When we left Atlanta, it was about 96 degrees, about 80% humidity. And to come here, tell you what, if we could bottle this, we could all retire. This is unreal. It's beautiful. In the Atlanta church, we have an attendance anywhere from about 80 to 100 on any given Sabbath. And then our sister church, which is Jefferson, that's where my friend Glenn Harrison attends, there's anywhere from 50 to 60 there. So on a holy day, we'll have 160, 200 people. And at one time, we had almost 1,800. So you can see Atlanta was pretty devastated during the times we all went through. But again, it's just, I can't express to you how beautiful it is around here, these flowers. And we were just, you know, just in awe of everything we see here. Y'all are very fortunate to live here. And you're very fortunate to have a ministerial team like Mr. and Mrs. Luker. I'm sure you realize that, but they have really meant a lot to our lives over the years. And we constantly stay in touch with them and visit whenever we have an opportunity. I'd like to start off the sermonette by reading something to you. It's a traditional Jewish tale or Jewish story. Excuse me. And it goes like this. It says, God said to Abraham, but for me, you would not be here. I know that, Lord, Abraham answered. But if I were not here, there would be no one to think about you. Yeah, and you think about that a little bit, and here we are. God has created us. We not only understand who God is, we can understand, we know God, we can think about God, but someday we're actually going to see God and be with God just as he is when he establishes his kingdom on earth. You know, it's a great and awesome calling that we have, brother. It really is. I know we all realize that or we wouldn't be here. But unfortunately, we still have to live in Satan's world. And Satan is still alive and present, as we all know, and he would do anything to destroy us. I don't know if any of you have had an opportunity to read the latest issue of the church newspaper, United News, where Scott Ashley interviewed Mr. Holliday. And one of the questions he asked Mr. Holliday, and I'll just paraphrase it here, is he said, what is the greatest danger that you think the church faces within the next 5 to 10 years? And he said, well, thought about it, I guess. And he said, well, it's got to be spiritual. He said, you know, we are a spiritual organism. And he said, Satan, as he sees us doing the work of God, is going to zero in on United, to paraphrase, and he is going to come after us. And, you know, we were talking with Mr. and Mrs. Luker a few months. I lose track exactly where we were. I can't remember if they were in Atlanta and visiting with us or what, but we're all very thankful that God had provided United for us, a place we could meet people of like mind, and we knew the truth would be taught there, and that's one thing we didn't have to worry about anymore. But it came around to, hey, you know what, we're a much smaller group of people, and Satan has a much smaller target to shoot at, and he's certainly not going to miss out on that opportunity. And that brings me to the point of my sermonette. My wife and I, a few weeks ago, had some friends of ours bring up a point of doctrine just out of the blue, and I thought, oh, no. Now, how in the world can anybody be thinking that after all we've been through? But it's just true. There's going to be problems still, unfortunately, that we're going to have to deal with. At the beginning of the year, I had a spiritual theme for the year of 2002, and I printed it out, put it on my refrigerator. And as you can see, I'm no stranger to the refrigerator. I should have put it on an exercise bike, I guess, but that's another story. Anyway, I didn't. But I'd like to share these points with you. You could have any theme, but particularly after this was brought up to me just a few weeks ago by these friends of ours, and you know we're very concerned about them now. But it doesn't amount to a hill of beans when it comes to salvation. It's just Well, it does, because if they get caught up in something like that, as you know, you get so, your mind gets all twisted up, and it can really be devastating. But anyway, so I have these points I'd like to go over, if I may. It's the theme I've had. I actually added one to them, one to this list after we had this conversation. And it's really very simple. But first point is, God is in 100% control of this earth and our lives. Satan is the god of this world. We all know that. But God is still in charge. And we can never forget that. If you'll turn to Job 12, chapter 12 and verse 7, and it says, "Now ask the beast, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of God has done this?" In other words, you can look at creation and know that God's in charge of this earth, particularly living in, up here in this area. Boy, if you can't look around here and know that God's in charge with the beautiful flowers and trees and the ocean and the lakes and the orca whales, and where we live up in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. We just moved up there a couple of years ago, and we have a birdhouse out front that we put up, and there's some bluebirds. I probably don't have them here. They're beautiful birds. It's absolutely beautiful, and they're endangered. But we actually had a mommy and daddy bluebird build a nest in there and raise their young, and not too long ago, the daddy bird was out there flopping. You know, you can almost hear him scream, "It's time to leave. It's time to leave." If any of you have children, sometimes maybe you felt the same way. You know? It's time to move out. Good luck. But lo and behold, another set of bluebirds has come in there to build another nest, which is surprising. I didn't know they would do that. And we have some wild turkey and an occasional black bear. But you can look at all these things and say, you know what? God's in charge. He really is. Satan may try to get to us, which he will, but stay close to God. We have nothing to worry about. Let's finish up in Job in verse 10. It says, "In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" That tells you that God is in 100% charge of this earth in our lives. Point number two, and I know we all know this, but still, I think if you focus on these things, you don't have time to focus on stuff that really doesn't have anything to do with eternal life. It's God and Christ will never abandon us. It's a promise that they can't and won't break. I mean, it's just simply impossible for them to break that promise. And we can read about that in Hebrews 13. In Hebrews 13, Hebrews 13 and verse 5 and 6. Well, there it is. I knew I had that marked and my tab was turned under. It says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And then in verse 6, so if we know that Christ will never leave us or forsake us, and neither will God, so then what's our answer to anybody that comes up with anything against us? Well, it's in verse 6. "So we may boldly say," what? "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Well, nothing, really. Point number three. Now, normally in Atlanta, we give 45 to 50 minute sermonettes, but Mr. Luker said, you know, try to hold it 10 or 15. So if I go over and can't see the clock, but I won't if I just shut up and get on with things. The truth of God does not change. You think, well, that's pretty academic. Well, apparently, unfortunately, to some, it's not. The truth of God does not change. It is not open for debate. You know, there's no need to try to debate it. Our minister, Mr. Dick Thompson, who has just recently moved to Florida, used to say, you know, if you've got anything that you want to submit, there's a doctrinal committee, write it up and submit it to them. They'd be happy to look at it. But don't waste your time with the Sabbath. No need writing an article about that. The Ten Commandments, the holy days, when Passover should be kept, and so on. You know, just, it's a total waste of time. We know what the doctrines of the church are, and they're solid, and they're not going to change. So really what you want to spend your time doing is, spiritually anyway, is when, what it tells you to do in Matthew 6:33, is seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or 1 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. if you're doing these things, brethren, you don't have time for these other little twiggy issues that don't amount to anything other than the fact that it can get you all discombobulated and you don't know where you are anymore. Let's turn to Jude, verse 3. You know, in Atlanta, we had this little bitty podium, and I was telling Mr. Luca, we've got this huge tube that runs the length of the cafeteria where we meet. It's canvas, I guess. And we never know if the heat is going to be, if the air conditioner is going to be on, if the air conditioner is going to be off. And nobody's ever really been able to figure out why or how to change that thing. Anyway, we'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden this air come on, this thing will go, and scare everybody to death. And we usually have a fan sitting over here, which is blowing your notes in the Bible. And then when the air conditioner comes on, if you're unfortunate enough to be up there speaking, you freeze to death. In the meantime, you've been sweating so much that you're afraid you're going to get pneumonia now that the air conditioner's working. And again, I'll just say to be here is unbelievable. Anyway, Jude 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, he obviously had to write that because people were not contending earnestly for the faith that was once delivered. They were picking out these little twiggy things that didn't amount to a hill of beans, but could cause great damage to them spiritually. So he had to write to them. So that, you know, it happened in the early New Testament church. It's happened here, you know, in the church in the past, and unfortunately, I guess it's just going to continue to happen until Satan is finally put away. But again, the truth of God does not change, and there's no need debating it. Point number 4. God is eagerly looking forward to the day that he and Jesus Christ will finally bring us into his kingdom. I mean, that's really what this whole thing is about, this whole exercise, this whole sacrifice that Christ went through and that God the Father had to go through in order to allow Jesus Christ to be sacrificed, is the whole purpose is to lead us into his kingdom. We don't have to worry about the doctrines. We don't have to trouble our mind with that. That they're set. We know them. We just need to focus on making sure we stay close to God. And these 4 little points here is what I've chosen to read and reread and reread. And every time I go to the refrigerator, and maybe I will move it to my exercise bike one of these days, but to stay focused on what's important. Let's just turn to Luke 12, final scripture. I know it's very familiar with everyone here. It's one of my favorites in the Bible because it just says so much in such a, just with one sentence. In Luke 12, verse 31, well, it was started 31. I actually meant 32, but we'll read 31 because it tells you what to do, really, doesn't it? It says, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, you know, what you need and what have you. And verse 32 is the one that I really do like. It says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to do what? To give you the kingdom. And that's what we need to be focused on, brethren. So we have an awesome calling. There's no doubt. I know we all know that. And we want to make sure that we are part of God's kingdom when Jesus Christ returns. We just got to make sure that we all stay focused on that goal and not get turned to the right hand or to the left hand. Well, it's just an absolute pleasure. Again, I can't say it enough to be in Seattle. If you see me here next Sabbath, you know the Lucas couldn't get rid of us. So. No, but anyway, think it's just a joy to be here and to have them as friends, and for y'all to have them as a minister is, well, I tell you, more than we could expect in Atlanta. It's just a wonderful experience to have them as friends, and I know I've said enough about that. I don't want to embarrass Mr. Luker, but it is the truth.